Here comes Santa Claus, Jingle Bell Rock, heck, even those pesky chipmunks. I'm looking at you, Alvin. Something about a good Christmas slash holiday song just makes the season right. So grab some cocoa and bundle up as we check out some seasonal tunes on this all-new episode. And don't worry, we've checked our list twice. Big Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone, and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. On this podcast, we'll take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and we promise you'll have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by the man actually responsible for running over Grandma with a reindeer. It's my good friend, Rob.
She had it coming.
I saw that.
Yep.
And you were able to frame Santa on top of it all these years.
Well,
unsolved mystery.
She's got an eggnog problem.
That's right.
So
not anymore.
It's not on me. I can't take responsibility for it. This episode goes out to all of our Scrooges out there.
I like them.
You're thinking Bah Humbug, but that's probably too strong because you know it is your favorite holiday. But all this year has been a busy blur. Maybe you're thinking, I don't think I have the energy to add to my already mad rush just because it's tis the season. For you, the perfect gift would be completions and connections left from last year. Then there was that most interesting ski shop encounter. You had their number, but never the time. Most of the year passed along those lines. Maybe you saw a calendar picture of a frozen landscape and it chilled the room for 24 days. Even with the evergreens and the sparkling snow, you're thinking, let's get this winter over with. You're probably having flashbacks to that springtime when you saw that person again, you know, the one from the ski shop. That would have been a good time to go for lunch, but the two of you couldn't agree when you were both free. You tried. The two of you said you'd keep in touch, but you didn't, of course. Then let's fast forward to summertime. You went out to the beach on their boat. Could you join them? Nope. This time it was all on you. You had managed to get third-degree sunburns. Now, the calendar's just one page, and of course, you're excited. Tonight is the night, but you've set your mind not to do much about it. So deck the halls, trim those trees, raise up cups of Christmas cheer. You just need to catch your breath and know that the Totally 80s and 90s Recall family wants you to know that you don't have to do Christmas by yourself this year.
Ooh, did you write that?
I didn't.
Oh, that's good.
No, it was inspired by...
I don't know where the inspiration comes from. I thought maybe you penned that. I thought it was... an original.
No, it wasn't original.
Oh, okay.
I stole it.
That's good. I mean, you're a good thief, but that's all right.
Now, let's see if anybody can catch that.
Sounds good. Yeah. I don't have it off the top of my head.
It's so. I'll give a little hint. No. It's an obscure, not obscure. It's a, an odd 80s Christmas song.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll have to look into that. So, well, Rob, we're into our second week of our Christmas special episodes.
Yes.
Last week, we had a great time with A Christmas Story, an immortal holiday classic. So if you haven't done so, go and check that out. Make sure you don't miss it. But this is a perfect time for us here on Totally 80s and 90s Recall to wish everyone a great holiday season. Whatever you celebrate, the important thing is to spend time with the ones you love and just enjoy some food, football, fun, and this podcast.
That's right.
That's right.
It's a great time to catch up.
Yeah. Also, Merry Christmas to our other podcasting friends at Generation Rewind, a pop culture yearbook, Children of the 80s, and Bad Movies Rule. They do a great job supporting our show, so we wish them the happiest of holidays and merriest of Christmases.
Yeah.
That's okay. I feel like I pluralized those wrong, but that's okay. We're going to go with it. So, well, that's a lot of sentiment, Rob. We're feeling lovely here in the studio today. So why don't you tell us what we're covering for this episode?
So today we are looking at our favorite Christmas holiday songs. Or Christmas songs. Favorite Christmas songs.
Absolutely. So nothing like Christmas time and the holiday season.
Just we were not confined to like a certain decade.
No, I have a little blurb about that actually. Okay. So, but I'll say, just like any kid, I look forward to Christmas more than anything.
Yeah.
There's cookies.
No.
Fudge.
No.
Presents.
You're a fudge guy.
I like fudge.
I don't like fudge.
Okay. Presents. You're out of school. Now that we're older, we have less days of work. So I would say it was and is the best holiday.
Yeah.
I like Thanksgiving quite a bit too, but Christmas is the best. So, but I really love the music. I think you love the music too.
I do.
Puts me in the mood, makes the season feel right. Yeah. When you hear a good Christmas song, it it just makes you feel good.
Well, and are you a person that will listen to Christmas music like year round, or your Christmas music is seasonal?
I can find it to the year because feels like that's when I want to hear it.
Because I know, I think my sister is somebody that would listen to it.
No,
can't year, do round, it year round. And I can't get into that.
I need it for the mood.
Yeah, that's right.
The mood of the season. Yep. So, well, as a side note, you kind of mentioned it, but for longtime fans of the show, normally we cover everything from the 80s and 90s. But for this episode, some of our song choices date back further, and by that, several decades, in fact.
Yeah.
However, all the songs we've chosen were memorable to us in the 80s or 90s as kids. Or they play prominently in like Christmas movies we watched from the 80s and 90s.
Correct.
So all of them have a connection to us as kids and the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
They were either kind of brought back or they became more popular, whatever the situation is. But I think in this case, just because it wasn't in the 80s or 90s doesn't make it nostalgic for us kids of the time. Because a lot of these were still playing on the radio, all that kind of stuff.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah, I was, I think we'll talk more about it as we get in here, but I was amazed at the amount of songs on this list that either broke some sort of record or on the amount of time from their release to when they charted or hit number one or number 10. And it sounds like there's some changes in the...
Well, they changed the way the chart could work, and before it couldn't hit the chart and then it did. And so, they had... So, well, when I was a kid, Christmas music was especially important because my sister and I were not allowed to wake my parents up for Christmas morning. Uh-huh. We had to wait till we heard Christmas music.
That was
so that in our house that allowed them to get their coffee, sit down, put their robes on, and be ready for the chaos that would soon ensue in the living room.
Yeah.
But besides that, I just look forward to the music, as we were talking about, whether it's in the mall or at a party or in a movie that you really love. It just puts you in that, I think, Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
So we've worked together on this one.
Again, we did.
Little collaboration for our second time. Developed a 20-song playlist of our favorite Christmas/holiday songs with a few other fun ones thrown in.
Yeah.
When we put this together, what was your criteria for a song making the list?
Oh, my gosh. Because
this is a coveted playlist.
Yeah. I think we use the word on the show a lot, nostalgia, and I think that is... what the holiday brings that too, right? Especially this one.
Especially.
And so a lot of these songs, I think for me, were songs I remember hearing or, that bring back a memory or, I can remember playing at my grandma's house or, movies we watched that are just staples at our house. So, they had to be something that was,
something
took that me back
triggered,
in time.
Had to trigger something.
Yeah.
So real quick, fans, you may notice today that, Rob here sounds a little like Barry White. He's got that smooth baritone going. He's a little nasally. He's got a bit of a cold. But being the tough guy that he is, he's toughing it through because that's how important the episode to our fans is.
Cold season is here. You're
toughing it out. Just got to get some Theraflu or some NyQuil or something.
Gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. So, but you kind of got that smooth chef from South Park sound today. Hey, kids. I think you'll notice it more even after you hear the playback.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to sound even a little more enticing for you.
Oh, man.
So, well, mommy may like kissing Santa Claus, but it's not too cold outside for us to go a-wassailing as we revisit our favorite Christmas/holiday songs.
I don't care what your mama says, Christmas time is near. I don't care what your daddy says, Christmas time is near. Making its way to the USA.
For no reason whatsoever, that may be one of the funniest things I've seen on Saturday Night Live. It's so simple and hilarious. So, well, once you've popped out of the Lincoln Tunnel, avoid heading straight to the Empire State Building and instead find us at Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Whether you're looking for the perfect tree or buying milk, eggs, and fabric softener, you'll never want to miss an episode during this busy season. So take just a second to hit that subscribe button. And of course, share it with a friend. After all, this is the season of giving. So forget about that lingerie. The Rob and Dave experience is much more appropriate to give to that someone special. All right.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, that's a good gift.
Yeah.
I never thought that
we'd be a gift.
We'd be a gift that
keeps on giving.
That would, I mean, that people would look forward to.
That's great. We should be. So, all right. Quick disclaimer. Just want to get this out of the way, because otherwise, once this episode's out in the world, we may feel some of the questions. We know how important songs can be to everyone this time of year. As we've mentioned, it triggers lifelong memories and just makes you feel good. Inevitably, Rob and I will not get every song onto our list that all of you out there love, but we think we have a great mix to get you through the holiday season. I would say after the show, you could toss this playlist on and roll right into wrapping presents, drinking eggnog, enjoying this month's jelly selection. Now, these are in no particular order as we enjoy all of these songs. So with that, Rob, let's cue up Emmett Otter and his jug band to play our first selection.
Watermelon gardens, berries on a shrub, cookies in the kitchen when there ain't no coal in the wash tub.
All right, our first song is...
I'll have a blue Christmas.
The King.
Leading off with The King.
Yeah. Without you. That's a good one.
You like this one a lot.
I do like this one.
Yes, so when we were putting our list together, you were very... strict that this had to be on the list.
Yeah, there are only a few songs on here that I absolutely wanted to have.
Must have.
And I felt like this one.
I don't love it as much as you. I like all the songs.
Yeah.
This is my least favorite of the 20.
That's okay.
It's okay if I hear it once in a while, but I can't listen to it over and over again. Too much of the... it's a little too much with
the... This right here. Come on now.
I can only take so much of it. You know, when I hear this, it reminds me of in Forrest Gump when he's teaching him to dance. They do the little thing for me being kid. You know what I mean?
And, you know, I don't think my aunt listens to our show, but she's a big Elvis fan. And so I put this out there for my aunt. But anyway.
I got into my son's car the other day.
And he was listening to
17-year-old, he was listening to Elvis.
What?
It wasn't this song, but it was an Elvis song. I was interested in that playlist. But he's trying to branch out and hear all kinds of things, so.
So about this song.
Yeah, let's tell them.
It was recorded in 1948. In 1949, there were three separate recordings of this song. So it's been done by a lot of people. And then it was recorded again in 50. The Beach Boys recorded a version. Blue Christmas also included on a 1957 45, which is a, you know, album. That was before my time, which included...
Are you sure?
Yes, right. Well, now I've just recently got into albums. So my wife got me into that. But on that album, they had Santa Bring My Baby Back to Me, Santa Claus Is Back in Town, and I'll Be Home for Christmas. Also three classic Elvis songs. It was released as a commercially available single for the first time in 1964, which I thought was interesting. So it wasn't taken a while. And then on Billboard Magazine's January 5th, 2019 edition, the song reached the number 40 position inside the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time since its release in 1964. So that's kind of what we were talking about, where a lot of these songs reached their peak later, much later, like decades later. They started.
Seems like older Christmas songs became more popular in the 80s and beyond.
Yes.
So
and then
I wonder why that is.
It featured the Jordanaires, the background singers on that. So.
You know what else I think of when I hear Elvis? You've seen the Dewey Cox Walk Hard movie?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when he's backstage and he's talking to Elvis because he got them all riled up and he like karate chops. He goes, look out, man.
Well, there's also another version of this song.
And then when he walks off, is it a better version?
It might be.
Oh, okay.
Come on now.
So we're going with Porky Pig. You know what's interesting? Sounds the same. No difference. So apparently Porky Pig could have been the king. J-J-J-J-J-House Rock.
I remember hearing this as a kid. It was on the radio. I don't even know who gave credit to.
It's just something.
I was able to find it on YouTube.
Next time you and the wife are sitting in front of the Christmas tree with some wine, we'll throw this on. See what you think.
If you're not here with
Yeah. We all know Porky Pig's skills here. It's fantastic. You should feel proud of yourself.
I do.
Who knew 50-something episodes ago we'd get Porky Pig onto our show, right? There it is, folks. Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
So, well, that's our start. It was Elvis Presley, the king, Porky Pig.
I think people will like
maybe
that
you can't tell the difference, but there they were. These aren't any particular orders, I said, but as a way to keep ourselves on track. Otherwise, Rob and I wander off. We'll say that was number 20. That way we keep on track with our playlist. So
that's a good call.
We'll move on to number 19.
All right.
This is called Happy Xmas. Parentheticals, war is over.
All right.
I like when the kids kick in the chorus.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Best part. Or is that just Yoko Ono? Maybe she just sounds like a child.
No.
I think it's her.
It's her, but she's got people behind her.
Okay. Yeah. You know, forever I thought those were kids, but I think it's Yoko. And now I understand why the rest of the Beatles didn't want her hanging around. So. So, again, this is Happy Christmas. Parentheticals, War is Over by John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
And that I found that the actual title is Happy. It's spelled.
Yes. Xmas. Yes. Yeah. Happy Xmas. Yeah. It was hard to say that on here, but we will, we want to be specific. So there it is. This song was released actually in 1971 and was a protest song for the Vietnam War, then re-released in 1980 on the UK singles charts after Lennon's death. And it went to number 2. Since its release, the song has become a Christmas staple and voted as the 10th best Christmas song in the UK in 2012. Fun fact, Lennon was the first member of the Beatles after they disbanded to release a Christmas song. All of the members have released one, with one in particular from Paul McCartney that we may see later on our list.
Oh, that's right. In my notes, I have that the kids that you hear in the back is the Harlem Community Choir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there are kids. You were right.
I'm not completely gone.
You were right.
But I still think that first part might be Yoko.
It is. I think you're right.
Because, man, I always thought that was a kid, so I accepted it and thought, oh, okay, it's good. But if that's Yoko as an adult, she's a little whiny at that point.
So Rolling Stone put out they always put out their
but I love the song
500 greatest albums or whatever. Oh, yeah. And so I tried to listen to them.
Oh.
And one year, John and Yoko's Plastic Ono Band was on the list. I thought, I'll try it.
No.
I can't do it. No. I'm sorry to all the... I'm not a Beatles fan. So I'll just put that out there.
That's funny because I'm also not a Beatles fan. My wife can't believe it. Other people can't believe it when I say it.
I've tried.
I'm not... I think they're a little overhyped.
Yeah, there's a couple songs I think are really good. Take. And then
we got a hot take today. That's right, folks. Sorry. We just said Beatles overhyped.
Wow.
So it's funny. I saw an interview with Rob Harvella. We like to listen to 60 songs.
Absolutely. I think I quote him in here.
He said a quote that he goes, "The Beatles were great, but they were no Stone Temple Pilots." That was a direct quote he said. So
I agree with Rob.
That's why I like him more and more every day. Yeah. So thanks a lot for that, Rob. Yeah. Way to back Rob and I up. The other Rob.
The other Rob.
There you go. Yeah. The less, maybe just a little less famous Rob.
Yeah. We'll call him the Rob.
He's the Rob. Yeah. also once a Robbie like you.
So, that's
there you go. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, I love that song. Great.
Yeah.
We have a great start. We got Elvis and then we got John Lennon. So at number 18, what is next?
This is a good one. I love this one. It's got a little slow. It's got a little slow uptake, but it's worth it.
It's worth it.
You'll know it when you. Come on! Nice.
I thought I was drifting off for a second.
Yeah, no.
It's the crooner, the voice.
That's right. Is he Old Blue Eyes?
No, that's Frank Sinatra.
That's Frank Sinatra. What'd they call him?
Bing.
Just Bing.
As far as I know.
Bing.
I will tell you, I didn't hang out with him a lot, so I don't have the exact thing. But I'm gonna go with
Bing. He's a Spokane guy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
They got with Bing. They got a statue of him on the Gonzaga campus.
How you doing there, Bing?
Son, you laid a Vermont volleyball.
Right. Hey, Bing, you think we can do take two of that? No problem, fellas.
There's a quote in here. He tells Irving. At first, Crosby didn't think this was going to be a good song.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was like, it says here, the quote is, "I don't think we have any problems with that one, Irving." I think they just put it on. They put it on wax, and he's like, "Yeah,
is that your Bing?"
Yeah.
Hey, Irving.
Son, you You laid a verb on volleyball. Anyway, this song's by Irving Berlin. It was written in 42, actually for the movie Holiday Inn.
Yes.
And then in 54.
To White Christmas.
For White Christmas, which is what I know it from.
Correct.
Which became the highest grossing film of 1954.
Nice.
Well, we love that movie. I can quote it all the way through.
Yeah, my wife loves it too.
It won the Academy Award for Best Original Song at the 15th Academy Awards.
It did.
Topped the billboards in 42, 43, and then again in 44. It's in the top, it in the top 40 a dozen times in subsequent years. Here's some things about his version, Bing Crosby's version. It's the world's best-selling single, period.
Of all music?
Sales of the song exceed 100 million.
Wow.
His holiday collection, Merry Christmas, was first released as an LP in 1949 and has never been out of print since. It ranks number 2 on the Songs of the Century list behind Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow.
Oh, nice.
In 2002, the original 1942 version was one of 50 historical significant recordings chosen by that year to be in the Library of Congress. It's ranked number 5 on AFI's 100 Years, 100 Songs survey. It's the most recorded Christmas song. There have been over 500 recorded versions. I could go on for days.
So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Just say it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. White Christmas, this was a quote by some guys. I don't know. White Christmas, yeah, our research team did a good job.
The AV Club. Go.
Yeah. White Christmas changed Christmas music forever, both by revealing the huge potential market for Christmas songs and by establishing the themes of home and nostalgia and would run through Christmas music evermore. So it changed how we did music. He dismissed his role in this song.
Okay.
This is probably not a quote that holds well over time. He said, he's been quoted as saying, a jackjaw with a cleft palate could have sung it successfully.
No, okay. Just not impressed himself with the song.
Yeah.
Even with all its accolades.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people probably know Bing Crosby because of that song.
Maybe
he shouldn't have been so.
No, that's what I find interesting is that it performed poorly initially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just was kind of dismissed it and. Yeah, it's been covered by Michael Bolton, Garth Brooks, Martina McBride, Bette Midler, Meghan Trainor, featuring Seth MacFarlane.
That is
a combination I would like to hear.
Interesting. Seth MacFarlane, he's like a Bublé type. He's very, he's crooner.
And he's not bad.
Yeah, I've heard. He's done concerts. He's not bad. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
No.
Was that it?
That's Bing Crosby.
You had a lot, so I didn't know.
And that came from... The White Christmas, which is the movie that I could watch
all day.
My kids don't necessarily care for it, but
my kids don't mind it.
I'll pull it up on YouTube.
Sister. Anyway, all right. Well, another good song. Number 17 takes us to a great song. Change moods. You go from White Christmas to this. This is like a party Christmas song.
You ready?
This is what you play at the party right here. Oh, that's so good. That's an all-time beat right there.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. The remix.
Collard greens. Cheese.
This is fantastic.
It's so bright. Oh,
this is fantastic.
It's carols. Oh, then they break it down.
Oh, yeah.
Are you an eggnog guy?
I love eggnog.
Do you?
Yeah. All right. So this is Christmas in Hollis by the one and only Run DMC. This is a true 80s song on this countdown and our only rap song that made the list from a Christmas standpoint. This song was released in 1987 and was produced by Rick Rubin, of course. Other musicians that contributed. Now, I don't know what they contributed. It just said they contributed to the song. I don't know if it was harmonies, writing, whatever, but it was Whitney Houston. Bruce Springsteen,
really?
Madonna, and Bob Seger. That's quite a crew to help make this song, by the way. The song samples Backdoor Santa, Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, and Joy to the World. This song won Rolling Stone's Best Music Video of the Year in 1987, beating out Michael Jackson's Bad Video. This song was also featured in possibly the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard, which we will be covering soon. Fun fact, in the video, lead vocalist Joseph Simmons, a.k.a. Rev Run, is wearing a Portland Trailblazers jacket. So Rip City is alive in Hollis, Queens, Rob.
Wow.
This is probably the most unique Christmas song on the list.
And
as all the other ones somewhat echo the sounds of the season and have kind of a formula to them,
yeah,
this is its own thing.
87, that was peak blazer years.
Well, we're getting into the peak blazer years. Yeah, but they had the black slick jacket with the blazer symbol.
Love it. You mentioned Backdoor Santa.
Backdoor Santa?
That was Clarence Carter.
I just went right over that. Did we not address Backdoor Santa enough?
No. Well, and he was mentioned.
Sounds like an adult Christmas movie.
In our previous episode about kind of strange, interesting songs of the 80s, he did Strokin'.
Yeah. And now Backdoor Santa.
Yeah.
So if Backdoor Santa is anything like Strokin', because I haven't heard Backdoor Santa, I'm going to assume it's a little much.
I'm going to assume that Backdoor Santa means exactly what Clarence Carter meant it to mean.
100% correct.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said it sounds like an adult Christmas movie.
In my notes, I had that it was also filmed in The Office, Everybody Hates Chris, Chuck, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Ted Lasso. I mean, it's almost become a cultural, you just hear the opening and then you're like, you know what song.
It's perfect.
But he mentioned Die Hard, and the character says, don't you have any Christmas music? And he said, this is Christmas music.
Christmas music. That character being the limo driver.
Yes.
One Argyle, if you will. So
Argyle.
Named after the sweater.
All right.
All right. Well, that takes us to number 16.
Number 16 is... Oh, we're going to talk about this.
It's a collaboration. All the Brits got together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the Brits.
All the Brits. We got Bono,
Duran Duran,
Wham. Actually, I don't think it's Wham. I think they just invited George Michael.
Yep.
I have something interesting for this too, but I'll tell it later.
Yeah.
Well, you'll probably spoil it now.
No. Yeah, so this is Do You Know It's Christmas, 1984. By Band Aid. Yeah, which was, like you said, it was a charity.
Who was the guy who headed it up?
Bob Geldof. Yeah.
He sounds like he should be in Lord of the Rings.
Bob Geldof. It was a charity song written in 84 for a famine in Ethiopia.
Yes.
It sold 1 million copies in the first week, becoming the fastest selling single in UK chart history. And then they held that record till 97. And then Elton John's Candle in the Wind came and
shattered it.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Elton.
What is the money? I should know this. What's the currency in Europe? Is it
the euro?
The pound or whatever?
Well, euro? In UK, I think they still do their pounds and all that stuff. But so, in Europe, it's the euro.
Okay. So I'm going to use probably the inaccurate currency.
You're all good.
Geldof hoped that it would raise 70,000, whatever the European is, euro.
Well, sure. He would have wanted pounds because euro didn't exist in the 80s.
So 70,000 pounds is what he hoped to raise. It raised 8 million. So he did well.
That's good for Ethiopia, right?
Your buddy Phil Collins.
Yes, he's there.
He showed up with his entire drum kit.
Did he play? Yep,
he did. He plays drums on this. There were some unusual participants. Cool and the Gang was there.
Interesting.
Which I thought was odd.
That is
odd. The singer named Marilyn, who had scored a couple of chart hits, she just showed up. She wasn't even invited.
That's good.
She showed up and then some other people, there was a couple other people just showed up, weren't even invited.
They probably heard about when Dan Aykroyd crashed the party over at other one, so let's just do the same thing.
That's ballsy. Yeah. This guy named Nigel Planner, he did a song, but then it says
Nigel.
He showed up uninvited and in character as a person he plays on TV.
I like what is
going on? In the 1986 Grammy Awards, the song video was nominated for Best Music Video. This is my favorite part of the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
In 2010, Geldof told Australia's Daily Telegraph, quote, I'm responsible for two of the worst songs in history.
No.
With the other being We Are the World and then this song.
So he makes these collabs and then he didn't like them?
No, he's like, yeah, they're garbage. And he goes on this whole thing talking about how it was the quality. He was looking for, you know, it was a charity song. So it was more about charity than it was about the music.
Anyway, they're still memorable songs.
Yeah. But I thought there was people from Bananarama, Boomtown Rats. Okay. Never heard of them. U2, Kool and the Gang.
Yeah.
George Michael was
there. Duran Duran.
Spandau Ballet. Duran Duran.
I believe it's Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet.
There you go.
And then, Phil Collins played drums. So there you go. So
Phil Collins plays drums.
I don't think.
Oh, the cheeky fellow.
No.
Hey, Bob's in the studio. Hey, we invited Phil, but he said he has to play drums. So everybody humor him. I'll take care of it in post. All right. Well,
hey, what were you going to say about that song? You said you had a little fun fact. You didn't want to ruin it. Oh, you'll do it later.
You didn't do the fun fact, so I'm going to save it for later. All
right, good.
So, all right. Well, that takes us to our number 15. Oh, this is a classic.
We're going back to the traditional.
Songs, yes. Season and Santa Claus. This song swings. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. I like the way he holds it. Snow. Gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
It's the holiday season. And Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy.
Santa's
a great big bundle of joy.
A big old bundle of joy. I just always think of Will Ferrell as Bob Goulet in this one.
All right. Well, this is Happy Holiday / The Holiday Season by Andy Williams. This was originally featured on Williams' 1963 The Andy Williams Album. Very clever title. The original Happy Holidays song was released by Irving Berlin in 1942. Williams paired and remixed it with The Holiday Season to make it a bit of a Christmas medley. The album this was on was the number one album at Christmas from 1963 to 1965, also top 10 from 1970 to 1973. I read that the main reason for the song's enduring popularity is its universal appeal. The lyrics and melody evoke feelings of joy, nostalgia, and excitement that are synonymous with the holiday season. The catchy chorus and upbeat tempo make it a perfect song for spreading holiday cheer and getting into the festive spirit. Fun fact, in 2019, this song hit number 47, the week of December 21st on the Billboard Hot 100, giving Williams his first top 100 song since 1976. Sadly, Williams passed away in 2012, so he didn't get to enjoy his return to the charts, but RIP to Andy, and this song lives on forever.
Yeah. I have in my notes that it was also featured in the movie Holiday Inn, like White Christmas was.
The holiday season. Skip-de-doo, dickery-dock.
Don't.
So that song swings. It sounds like a lounge singer just kind of going, I'm a no.
You know who else covered this song? The Carpenters.
Oh.
Johnny Mathis.
I feel like the Carpenters would slow it down a little bit. Did you listen to the Carpenters version?
Barry Manilow, Perry Como, Dionne Warwick. Oh, Michael W. Smith.
Oh my gosh. But that's awful.
I know how much you like.
If it sounds anything like his other works, I'm sure he butchered it.
Holiday season.
Someone somewhere in the Christian rock circles would be like, have you heard that Michael W. Smith cover? It's fantastic. Must listen for me and my family every year. So, all right. Well, that takes us to number 14. Number 14. With a little bit of a much different vibe from Andy Williams.
Thing to say
on a bride. The only thing I ever think about this song is National Lampoon's
Cousin Eddie on the diving board.
Cousin Eddie on the diving board.
Waving.
And then the lady on the Mary. That's my name.
Oh. I like how you go to the girl in the bikini and I went to Cousin Eddie.
Technically, she's wearing a one piece, but I gotcha. She takes it off regardless. It doesn't matter. I wonder if they like this in Hawaii.
Oh, interesting.
I've never known that answer. So
this is Mele Kalikimaka.
Yes.
You like that? I nailed it. It's a Hawaiian-themed Christmas song written in 1949. It's by Bing. And the Andrews sister.
Very good.
He was born in the writer, R. Alex Anderson, was born and lived most of his life in Hawaii.
Okay.
He's known for writing many popular Hawaiian songs with the, I don't know how to say it, it's a hapa hoale genre. And basically what that is Hawaiian music in which the tune, styling, and or subject matter is Hawaiian, but the lyrics are partly or mostly in English.
Okay.
So the expression mele kalikimaka is a loan phrase from English. It doesn't mean anything. It's a made up kind of made. The Hawaiian language has different phonological system than English.
Mm-hmm.
So there is not a direct correlation between Merry Christmas and then a Hawaiian phrase of that.
Uh-huh.
So the closest approximation to Merry Christmas is Mele Kalikimaka, and it's really, I read about how they came up with that, and it, yeah. And the earliest known use of that phrase is 1904.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. So Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, this is a 1950 recording of the song, is one of the earliest recordings of this song. It has been covered by many artists and used in several films, including National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Very good.
The story goes that Anderson's stenographer was in his office one day, and she said, how come we don't have any Hawaiian Christmas songs? And he thought, oh, that's really good.
Let's do that.
So he did, knocked it out, and Bing and him were golfing buddies, and he pitched to him, and Bing liked it and recorded it. And
so Bing didn't like White Christmas, but he got pitched this, and he's like, hey, babe, that sounds great.
I like that Hawaiian number you did.
Yeah, really. Let's do that one again.
According to Anderson's estate, the family still receives revenue from all over the world every year for the songs, including Mele Kalikimaka.
Of course they do. Yeah. They just live off of Bing for the rest of their lives.
Now tee you up there, buddy.
There you go. Yeah. All right. That's a great song. Lots of fun. So it takes us to number 13. We've been kicking butt so far. We got lots of good songs. But number 13 is super fun.
Yeah, I hope people realize that this was a hard list to put together. It wasn't as easy as we just picked randomly. No, we deliberated over this and kind of went.
This was one of our longer prep sessions.
Yes.
So.
And we
prepped it a good month in advance because we needed the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
All right, so this is number 13.
Number 13.
Bam.
Bam.
Ooh.
This feels Christmassy.
It does. Ding dong ding. Ooh. Yeah, that background is good. They got it down.
They got a good chorus. Good chorus.
Ooh.
I like the harmonies. Dun dun dun. Some saxophone, low saxophone in there.
Ooh. Our cheeks are nice and rosy.
Well, this is a great song. This is Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. I really like the ring-a-ling-a-ling, ding-dong-ding. That's the good part. I think so far, now that we've heard the Ronettes, we've had a good array. We've had some rap. We've had some old style. We had the Mele Kalikimaka.
Yeah.
So I think we got a nice array of different kinds of genres of music. The first version of this song was released as an all-instrumental version in 1949. The Ronettes recorded their version in 1963, and it became a commercial hit that is still popular even today, obviously. Always played on the radio. This was a top 10 hit in the U.S. and Australia and top 40 in 12 other countries, so popular everywhere. However, only number 87 in France at its peak. So again, the French, even at Christmas, show their harsh critical taste. I don't know what they want. This song is featured in the holiday classic movies Fred Claus with Vince Vaughn and I'll Be Home for Christmas starring JTT. Remember JTT?
JTT.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Home Improvement Kid. How could I forget?
That's right. It also appeared on the soundtracks of some lesser-known holiday films such as Elf, Home Alone 2, and Jingle All the Way with Arnold.
Arnold, yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie, throw on Sleigh Ride while we bake cookies. Damn you, Jamie.
Have you seen Jingle All the Way?
I have.
So Arnold spends an hour and a half to 2 hours yelling at his son the entire time.
I know. I've seen it.
Jamie.
And that's a movie you see once. You really don't.
First of all, you're going way too far because we watch it every year. Me and the boys. And Laurel's
Dancer, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
You got it.
That's the only reason I know
those. Dancer, Prancer, Vixen,
I think about that scene. That's the only reason I know that. I go.
Aubrey says that's how she remembers the reindeer.
That's how I do it.
From that.
Yes. If I have to think about it, I go, in my mind, I see him running.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
We're not going to do Jingle All the Way this year, but that movie is fantastic. I mean, you have him looking for a toy. He's fighting with a postal man who's actually blowing things up. I mean, you got
Sinbad.
You got Arnold. You got Phil Hartman. What's going on here? This is fantastic. It's great.
Yeah, what's going on here? That's
Jamie. A good...
I did. You mentioned Elf. The version that's on Elf is Ella Fitzgerald's version. It's a 1960 version, and I like that one a lot.
So I gotcha.
I think that's actually a better version.
No, but I like the rockin' version, a little more upbeat, a little more fun.
And then after achieving a new peak of 10, it reached number 10 in 2021. It became the group's, the Ronettes, second highest chart hit in the U.S. after Be My Baby.
Nice.
Which was sampled by Eddie Money, which was featured on a previous episode.
Yep.
See how it comes all around?
It's anyway, the 6 degrees of Eddie Money.
Yeah, that's right.
Kevin Bacon's going to sue us for stealing his 6 degrees That's his thing.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin cares.
Yeah, he probably not. He's got other things to worry about.
What are we at, number 12?
We're on number 12.
Ooh. Number 12, I lie.
It's another one of those you fought for.
Oh, I did.
Only thing I think about when I hear the song is the kids doing their stupid dance.
Yeah. And there's the one kid just doing the
one kid just
doing the dance. Yeah.
That's it. And Snoopy's just got his head
like running in
the air.
In place. He's doing like the flash dance.
Well, Snoopy's just got his snout in the air like this.
That's right. Ooh, love it.
So my wife loves.
Does she love this song?
She loves the whole album.
Yeah, the album's good.
And every year, I mean, you get in her car or in the house when she's doing anything for about a month, you're going to hear this. 74 times. All right, so I like it.
Well, this
she finds a way to just play it a lot.
Yeah, this is called Linus and Lucy.
Yes,
it's by Vince Guaraldi.
Is that right?
I think so.
I like that pronunciation.
Yeah, I think I probably butchered it.
That's okay.
It's named for the two fictional characters, Linus and Lucy Van Pelt. I guess I didn't realize they had a last. I mean, I didn't know their last name. They had a last name.
Yes.
It was originally released on his album Jazz Impressions of a Boy Named Charles, Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to go with a documentary about Charles Schulz and Charlie Brown, about his comic strip. But the story goes that that producer Lee Mendelson heard one of Guaraldi's recent hits on the radio while driving over the Golden Gate Bridge. He got in touch with Guaraldi. Guaraldi gladly accepted the offer to compose several jazz tunes for the documentary. This started a 30-year collaboration between Schulz and Mendelssohn. Mendelssohn is quoted as saying, it just blew me away. It was so right and so perfect for Charlie Brown and the other characters. I have no idea why, but I knew that the song would affect my entire life. There was a sense even before it was put into animation that there was something very special about that music.
You have shattered my whole childhood because I thought Schroeder played this song.
No.
And some guy named Vince Guaraldi or something.
Good grief.
The song has been used as the background music for the Weather Channel's local forecast during the holiday season since 1999. Anyway, so it's Linus and Lucy.
Linus and Lucy.
I love that song.
It's great.
I hear it.
It's classic.
And I'm with your wife. That whole album is great.
Great.
You just can put it in the background and let her play.
It's good. I don't know if it's 74 times in a row good, but it's good. So, all right. Well, that takes us to number 11. Sorry, Charlie. We can't stay with you forever.
That's all right.
So we'll exit the Peanuts and hit. Ooh, this is a good one.
Ooh.
Classic Christmassy sounding song.
I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street,
I like the ding dong in the back.
Say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see.
He has a very unique voice.
He does.
It's a little boisterous.
He waits for you.
Yes, sir.
Once for me.
Have a So this is Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives. That's an interesting name, Burl.
Burl.
You don't meet a lot of Burls anymore nowadays. It's not a name that gets thrown around for kids a lot.
Burl and Bing.
What's your son's name? Burl.
Bing.
All right. So classic song, very Christmassy, released in 1964. Side note, Rob, seems like there were a big call for holiday songs in the 60s. I don't know what's going on there, but a lot of these songs that we've done so far, a bunch of them have been in the 60s.
Yeah.
It has become one of the top 25 performed holiday songs of all time. This didn't hit the Billboard charts until 2017 due to restrictions on Billboard charts. But in 2020, hit number 4 on the Hot 100 in the U.S. Very popular everywhere else in the world that I saw, except Sweden. Surprising, as they usually love great songs, but maybe this wasn't poppy enough for the Swedes this time. Song was originally featured in the Rankin and Bass show Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and features the background singer singing Ding Dong as opposed to using real bells.
Oh,
so interesting, right? Besides Rudolph, this is featured on the Home Alone 2 soundtrack. Yeah. And Michael Bublé, the Incomparable, covered this in 2011, and I actually really like it.
I was just going to ask you, are you a Bublé fan?
I don't mind him. I do kind of like him. It's got a little lounge appeal to it, which I like it. And you know what, Rob? I have a sample for you because I know how much you love the Bublé.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to... We're going to see his version. It swings a little bit.
You
a little cooler.
It is a little cooler. Bublé's a cool cat, man.
He is a cool cat.
body waits.
The ladies would swoon a little more for this version than old Burl.
Yeah. Wow.
Really good.
Wow. Man. Okay.
So that's Buble's version. I also like Burl's version. Gives me that good old-fashioned feeling, but if I have to listen to it now, if Buble, he ain't bad.
Like
I said, the ladies will come for Buble.
All right.
I don't know. I'm sure Burl pulled in his day just fine, but I'm sure Burl wasn't sleeping alone. Him all he'd have to do is go, here, ladies, Rankin and Bass. And that's it. Oh, you did that?
No.
I invented the Island of Misfit Toys.
No. And in the show, it was sung by Yukon Cornelius.
Yes.
Their name's Yukon Cornelius, the greatest prospector in the North.
I found this an interesting fact. It says, Ivan. Who's Ivan? We don't know who Ivan is.
Maybe he's the brother of Burl Ives.
I don't know.
Ivan Ives.
Ives now holds the record for the longest break between a Hot 100 top 10.
Nice.
As he returned to this minimum ranking after 56 years, 7 months, and 2 weeks since his previous top 10 hit. And at 109 years after birth, surpassing Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World, which reached the top 40 when Armstrong would have been 86 years old, as the oldest artist living or deceased to have a top 40 hit.
Nice.
So there you go.
All right. Yeah. Well, we've jumped to our number 10, and we go from Burl Ives' nice classic Christmas sound to a rocking Christmas situation.
This is one I wanted.
No, I like this one.
Did you like this one?
Okay. I love this one. Yeah. It's great.
You know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Yeah.
Very good.
Run, run, Rudolph. Santa's got to make it to town.
Yeah. Make it a 10.
Make it a 10.
Santa, make him hurry. Tell him he can take the freeway down.
Love it. I like Chuck Berry anyway.
Run, run, Rudolph, because I'm reeling like a merry-go-round.
Ooh.
Nice.
Oh, I like this part.
Bid Santa to a boy child. What have you been longing for?
I think you like all the parts. Yeah,
I do like all the parts.
All I want for Christmas. All right.
That was our longest sample there,
We got enough.
We definitely know you like that one.
This is Run, Rudolph, Run, sometimes called Run, Run, Rudolph.
Yes.
It was written by Chuck Berry. And then there was some...
Who performed it?
Chuck Berry.
Oh, okay. You said written.
It was written by Chuck Berry and credited to this guy named Johnny Marks, who comes up a couple times in this list.
Okay.
But there's some... there was some controversy between...
Is that a word?
No, I made it up. Okay. Yeah, that's how Jimmy Fallon says it.
Controversy. Okay, my bad.
That's how he says it.
I need to watch more Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Between whether or not Chuck Berry wrote it or this other guy. So it was in the courts, I think. And it says Chuck Berry has stated that he wrote the song himself, but then discovered that the name Rudolph was trademarked by Johnny Marks. Marks sued and consequently was given the songwriting credit, although he had nothing to do with the song. Barry also said that M. Brody does not exist. That's some people that wrote it. And so he thinks it was all. Anyway, Chuck Berry sounds like he got the shaft. But anyway, so this is first recorded in 1958. Barry's 1958 recording peaked at number 69. 60 years later, the single re-entered the Hot 100 chart at number 45. It would keep every year kind of. And then in 2021, it was number 10. It became Barry's third top 10 hit and his first since 1972's My Ding-a-ling.
I like the ding-a-ling. That's a good song, one.
Yeah. In doing so, it broke the record for the longest climb to the top 10 since its first entry in 1958. It's 62 years it took for it to reach the top 10. Mm. The song is a dialogue between Santa and some children referencing popular toys of the 50s. So Santa said to a boy child, "What have you been longing for? All I want for Christmas is a rock and roll electric guitar." And then away went Rudolph, a whizzing like a shooting star.
Yeah. Nice.
And then another kid wants a saber jet.
Those are good.
And wants a doll that cries, sleeps, drinks, and wets.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sound like great toys.
It's been covered by LA Guns.
Wow.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, Billy Ray Cyrus, Foo Fighters. The Sheryl Crow, Keith Richard, Jimmy Buffett, Dwight Yoakam, Hanoi Rocks, Billy Idol, Brian Setzer Orchestra. Little shout out to our Generation Rerun guys. I know that they like that.
They like the Brian
And
Setzer.
You know who else covered it?
Give it to me.
Brian Adams, baby.
Yeah, of course he did. Did he do a Christmas album?
Who knows?
Something stupid.
I would even question
the BA Christmas album. Yeah. We should get a hold. If that exists, we should get a hold of it. We'll have to inflict that upon everyone's ears. So, well, Run Rudolph Run, great song. Run, Run Rudolph, whatever you want to call it. It's a rocking good time.
I love it.
And it spices up the Christmas party a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when that one comes out, people are going to start Xeroxing their butts on the thing, passing out the picture. It's all good. Right. So
a little more, alcohol, a little less eggnog.
Yes. Yeah. There can be still the same amount of eggnog.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be.
Just got to add it all together. That's all.
Yeah, maybe.
So, well, number nine would be our 11th choice, I guess. Yeah. White Christmas again, but a different version.
Ooh, this is, I like this one.
This is really good.
May your days, may your days, may your days be merry and bright.
Oh, I like the doo-wop.
The harmony in the back is good.
Oh, the doop-doop is really good. Doop-doop. Doop-doop. My favorite part, though.
Oh my gosh.
That's an adult man singing like that. Who sings like that?
Christmas!
Really good.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Oh, so good.
Where the treetops glisten and
dance. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, well, this is White Christmas by The Drifters featuring Clyde McFatter and Bill Pinkney. This is probably one of my favorite songs on the list for sure. I love the harmonies, as we said, the different voice characteristics in the song. It's just awesome. It's a great cover of, the original version. Obviously, a remake. I would say it's a reimagining of Bing's classic.
Ooh, that's and was a good one. A reimagining.
It was off of the album White Christmas and Other Doo-Wop Christmas Classics. That's a great name, by the way. Released in 1956. On the cover, it lists besides the Drifters, Ray Charles, the Orioles, and the Cadillacs. That's a solid lineup for sure. What can we say about this song? It's classic, iconic, fun, and definitely puts you in the Christmas spirit. This was, of course, featured on Home Alone when Kevin, played by Macaulay Culkin, sings into his hairbrush.
That's right.
I think we're getting scammed by a kindergarten.
It also has been played in the movies The Santa Claus with Tim Allen, Mixed Nuts with Steve Martin, and I'll Be Home for Christmas again with, of course, JTT.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I laugh in the face of danger.
All the teenage girls from the 90s know JTT. That posters, all of it happened. He was a Tiger Beat mainstay.
I think Jonathan Taylor Thomas has been mentioned too many times today.
Yes. I think almost is impossible, but he's 90s kind of icon Tiger Beat royalty.
Wow.
Can't stop him.
Okay.
Gotcha. He was the Kirk Cameron of the 90s.
Wow.
if that's any kind of endorsement. Wow.
There's a lot to unpack there. The Kurt Cameron of the 90s. Okay.
We'll go
with
that.
Okay. What are we at? Number eight.
Number eight.
Ooh.
Ooh. Back to Jolly England.
We're here tonight.
Ooh. Good one.
And that's enough.
And that's enough.
People love this song.
Oh, we're going to go international on this one. You're going to be proud of this.
I'm always proud of you, Rob. Come on now.
I don't think that's true.
1,000% true.
This time of year, simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
It's a fun wispy song. I don't know what wispy means, but
I was just
it sounds like something in English.
That's not a word I hear you use very often. It's a fun wispy song. Wispy. This is Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Yes.
It was released in 79. Mm-hmm. So we were just I was two. You were just wee babies.
We were three.
It was McCartney's first solo single in over 8 years. Here's the international part. It is charted within the top 10 in Austria, Germany, Ireland, the Netherlands, and the UK. Also, Latvia.
Beautiful. I think that's our first Latvia appearance on the show. Yeah,
nice. I'd save that to last. Good. It's been in the top 20 in Canada, Slovakia, Sweden, and Switzerland. So we got Latvia and Slovakia mentioned today.
Nice.
It is regarded as one of McCartney's weaker compositions by some music critics.
Boo.
It's been called mediocre.
I don't care. I like it.
McCartney recorded the entire song on his own. He played everything. In the United States, the single peaked at number 83. On the top 100 singles chart, number four on the Records World Singles Chart. Didn't initially make the Hot 100, but it would appear in 1984. Then again in 96, 2018, 2020. It has been said that Love It or Hate It, few songs within the McCartney oeuvre.
Oh, okay.
I had to look that up. It's a fancy word for catalog.
Nice.
So few songs within this catalog have provoked such strong reactions, including royalties from cover version, as it was estimated in 2010 that McCartney makes $400,000 a year from this song.
Great.
Which puts his cumulative earnings at over $15 million.
You just live up. That's like a retirement plan for the rest of your life.
That is the gift that keeps on giving.
So, I just want to, has nothing to do with Paul McCartney.
That's right.
But since we are on the YouTube, hello to our folks at home. I did yawn during your introduction. I want the people at home to know I'm not bored by the information you're giving. It's just I worked today. It's been a long day. So I came straight to the studio.
I missed it.
You were busy reading, but I was not yawning because of your information.
I was yammering.
Only because of actual fatigue.
I was yammering on.
Yammering on. He's putting me to sleep, folks. Just dozing off. All right. So, well, that's good. I like the Paul McCartney song. They can take their mediocre and stuff in a sack, mister, for all I care about that. All right. So,
that's all right.
Number seven.
You're angry.
This is a good one.
Don't be an angry elf.
He's an angry elf.
Let's hit it.
We're bringing it back down.
Yeah.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee.
That's another crooner. Like
crooner, baby.
Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie.
You got to get it in the cheeks. Pumpkin pie.
Pennsylvania folks are traveling down the Dixie's sunny shore. From Atlantic to Pacific. Gee, the traffic
it's is terrific.
I don't know about traffic being terrific, but all right. So this is parenthetical. There's no place like home for the holidays by the one and only Perry Como. Perry definitely knows how to croon. Maybe not quite like Bob Goulet, but still really, really good. He's singing about homemade pumpkin pie, Pennsylvania traffic being terrific. I don't know if terrific's ever terrific, but all right. Maybe because there was none. Maybe that's what the commentary is on. He went from Atlanta to the Pacific. So this was released in December 1954 and encompasses traveling long distances during the holiday season to see friends and family. This song, Rob, is like a warm blanket. Makes you feel like drinking cocoa or other spirits in front of the Christmas tree and just taking the holiday season in, just absorbing all of it. Now, I mentioned Bob Goulet at the beginning, which is relevant because I'm going to bring it back around. He covered this in 1986, and I have a sample here for the one and only Goulet. And let's see if he gives Perry a run for his money.
I met a man.
I know you're going to like this.
Was this 86 or 68?
I had 86, but maybe I was wrong.
My notes say 68.
Okay, maybe I miswrote it. I'll have to reread that. All I know is Robert.
I don't know if Goulet
Robert
can.
Goulet.
Goulet. Oh. Oh, traveling.
Different. He's taking a little different take on it, for sure. Much more dramatic.
Traffic is terrific. Oh, there's no.
So what do we feel about Bob Goulet's version here?
I don't know.
So
I think Perry Como's is better.
I got you. Well, Goulet's version might swing a little more. It's got a little more pep than Perry's, but maybe Perry's is a little better. Maybe it's more classic. This has also been covered by the Carpenters, Cyndi Lauper. That'd be an interesting one to hear. Destiny's Child, Pentatonix, and Darius Rucker. That's right, Hootie himself.
Oh, the Hootie.
Cover. So the best part of Goulet's cover, I will say, is at the end. We didn't hear that part, but at the very end, he sings. It's in like the last 4 seconds song. He goes, "Hey, mama, bake that pumpkin pie." That's literally how the song closes. It's fantastic.
That's funny.
It's like all kind of quiet. He keeps going. He's like, "Hey, like to be home for the holidays, folks." And then he goes, "Hey, mama, bake that pumpkin pie."
Wow. Well,
good old Bob Goulet. All right. Well, that takes us to number six.
Number six.
Ooh, a repeat offender on the countdown.
I know. How'd that happen? Oh. Well, you couldn't.
Because there are a couple good songs.
You couldn't leave it off. Ooh.
And he's back again.
Andy Williams is a Christmas.
Got a lot of Christmas stuff.
I mean,
seems to be in his ballpark of what he likes to do.
It's the happiest season of all.
Ding dongs. Is that the ding dong in the background?
Ooh, what was that?
Are you giving a round of applause to him already?
I did.
I like it. I don't know if it deserves a round of applause already. My goodness. So, you know, there's only one thing I think of now when I hear the old Andy Williams song.
What?
There's a Saturday Night Live sketch with Will Ferrell.
Yes.
He spins around in a circle. Oh. And he's singing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And then he starts saying, "It's too fast. We said it too fast." Oh, yeah. And he starts puking.
It was cherry Pop-Tarts. That's that was in a different sketch.
So this is "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year" by Andy
this
Williams.
This one here.
Sausage. It's also a time to think about the kids.
This is Farrell is
Bill Buell. Yeah. I want you to listen to this.
Ooh, this is good.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings.
It's not the same songs.
No.
These are a few of my favorite things. Cream colored ponies. Crisp apple strudels.
Schnitzels and noodles.
Schnitzels with noodles.
What is this? How about back to "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year" by Andy Williams? Let's introduce that song, Rob. All you have right. some info for
yes,
us?
Yes, I do. So this is written in 63.
I like the Bob. I like the Will like Ferrell Bob Goulet yeah. thing, too.
It was written in 63 by a guy named Edward Pola.
There you go.
And George Weil. I don't know. But yeah, covered by Andy Williams. On the Andy Williams Christmas album that you've mentioned several times.
Yes.
Initially, they didn't release a song. They chose instead off of the album to do his version of White Christmas. They said, we're not going to do this one. They were wrong because it peaked at number 5 in 2020. The song celebrates and describes activities associated with the Christmas season.
Mm.
Get-togethers between friends and families, telling of scary ghost stories, which was an antiquated Victorian Christmas tradition, like Charles Dickens, stuff like that. Hosting parties, spontaneous visits from friends, universal social gaiety.
Ooh, ooh. Good one.
Spending time with loved ones, sledding for children, roasting marshmallows, sharing stories with previous Christmases, and singing Christmas carols in winter weather. Andy Williams has been quoted as saying, "I think it's one of the top 10 Christmas songs of all time."
Ooh.
You might be right.
So Andy Williams said one of his songs was top 10 of all time.
Yeah.
Seems yeah. a little egotistical, well, but yes.
I think he had.
Reason. All right.
It's been covered by Johnny Mathis, Garth Brooks, Harry Connick Jr. And since 1995, the song has been used by the Staples Office Supply retail chain's annual back-to-school advertising campaign.
Sounds great. Good for you, Staples.
Yeah, nice job.
Nice job. But
anyway, that's a classic. I love it.
So, well, that takes us to number 5. I will say these aren't in any particular order, but the top 5 songs, these last 5 songs we have are probably... if they're not the most popular songs, pretty close to the most popular songs.
True, that's a good statement.
That we've introduced. True. But let's, number 5. Another rockin' song.
Christmas tree at the Christmas party.
Yep, it belongs.
Right? It belongs.
Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
I think of Home Alone. That's all.
Right? Yeah.
Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
That's 2 songs with pumpkin pie. You all right? You're dying over
I'm
there?
Good. I'm good. All right. My bones in my coffee.
Gotcha.
You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices.
All right. Well, that is, of course, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree by the one and only Brenda Lee. This feels like a Christmas staple right here. I think you're going to hear this multiple times in a Christmas season, no matter if you like it or not. But we love it, so it's great. This has to be played at every Christmas party, family gathering, tree lighting, you name it, this will be on. Released November 24th, 1958, and the original version has sold over 25 million copies worldwide and is the 4th most downloaded Christmas single of all time. Lee recorded this song when she was just 13 years old, which is shocking, as she sounds much older, I would say. This is considered a rockabilly song, and an instrumental version is featured in the 1964 TV show Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It charted in the top 20 on Billboard's Hot 100 multiple times in the 1960s and saw a resurgence after being featured in 1990's Home Alone.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
It was played during the scene when Kevin is pretending to throw a huge Christmas party to throw off the Wet Bandits.
That's right.
All right. So good for you, Kevin. Way to fight those bad guys off. In 2019, this reached its peak on the Billboard Hit Hot 100, hitting number 2 during the Christmas season. This song has also performed well all over the world, number 1 in Canada, Lithuania, and of course, New Zealand. We love the Kiwis. It did, however, only hit number 92 in Vietnam on their Hot 100, so they're not rocking out with Brenda as much as the rest of the world.
I found a quote from Brenda Lee. It said, "Somebody called me and said, 'Have you seen the movie Home Alone?' You ought to, because they've got Rockin' really featured in it. That's when it really took off with the youngsters. I knew it was special, but you never know what's going to be a hit. If you did, we'd all have hits every day. It's been a wonderful gift.
Wonderful gift.
I found it was...
She's still alive?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's been described as a perennial holiday favorite.
Oh, of course it is. I like that. Yeah. Classic.
Oh, so. I feel like the next one needs a...
Oh, number four. I gave this to you specifically because I know of your love of it.
No.
Look, I love this song. I think it's fantastic. Do you really? I do. It makes me feel like Christmas. And I know, look, there's two sides of the fence on this song. Yeah, people hate it, people like it.
Yeah, there's no...
And that's it. There's no middle ground.
There's no fence riders.
So it's either we just despise it because it's overplayed or this. But I'm telling you right now, I like it. I can listen to it.
Do people in your house
I think
like
so,
it?
I mean, as far as I know. Okay. Look, she struck gold. No matter what you want to say about
we're
it,
talk
she
about
struck
that.
Gold. All right.
We're going to talk about it. We might spend a little time
if you don't
here,
know what it is.
Here it is.
Here it is.
Oh, boy.
There's an argument that this is the Christmas song every year. Whether you like it
or
not.
There is an argument to be made there. And the data.
I like it.
The data supports your statement.
I like it. It sounds great.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of Christmas.
Yeah, you're
I'm never tired of it. She struck absolute gold with that song.
Yeah, so this is Mariah Carey. Due to this song's lasting impact, she's been dubbed the Queen of Christmas.
There you go.
Came out in 94.
What's the name of the song?
It is called All I Want for Christmas.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Carey's team discussed recording a Christmas album, but hesitated as such albums were typically released towards an artist's, the end of an artist's career.
Mm.
So they were like, it just wasn't done. But back then you didn't have a lot of artists with Christmas albums. So this was kind of, risky, I guess. In the, it was recorded in August. It took Carey and the writers a total of 15 minutes to write and compose. 15 minutes. They put this down.
Nice.
The song describes the singer not caring about the unusual material trappings of the holiday season, such as lights, trees, snow, and presents. They want to be with that special someone. So here's some descriptions. An up-tempo love song,
mm-hmm.
a Christmas standard, a year-long banger, a standard, holiday standard, a modern standard, a timeless classic, the 21st century's White Christmas.
There you go.
A Yuletide tune, debatably the unofficial song of Christmas each year. There you go. A song of optimism and joy that maybe, just maybe, hints at the real meaning of Christmas. A simple, well-crafted chestnut. The New Yorker described it as one of the few worthy modern additions to the holiday canon.
There you go.
In a 1994 interview, Carey described the song as fun, a very traditional old-fashioned song. It's very retro, kind of 60s. And the Ringer writer, Rob Harvella,
mm-hmm.
stated that, quote, December belongs to Mariah Carey. He went on to say that, quote, the very first time you hear the song, it sounds classic, timeless, like it was playing in the manger when Jesus Christ was born.
I love it. That seems right.
the list of achievements, it would take us another half of episodes, but the records it holds, downloads.
Oh, yeah. It's the one. Just say it's the one.
It holds the Guinness. It has Guinness Book of World Records.
I don't understand the hate for the song. It's fun. No. It sounds good. It's good to sing to. I don't know why people don't like it.
One of the best-selling digital singles of all time.
Yeah. Nothing surprises.
Interesting though. On June 3rd, 2022, songwriter Andy Stone from Vince Vaughn and the Valiants filed a copyright lawsuit against Carey.
Yeah.
And I listened to the song, and I don't know where he's getting the connection.
I think he's trying to capitalize there.
Anyway, so.
That's it. That's the one. I gave you that song, one, because I knew you'd like the research, and two, because you're not as big a fan of it as I am.
I'm not. So. I just...
I love it. It's crazy. I don't know how you don't like it. It just makes you feel good.
Yeah. But
it feels like the Christmas
you
season.
You can't deny...
Nope.
That song.
Just like the Spice Girls. Power,
yeah.
We had the same conversation about the Spice Girls.
No, we did not have that same conversation. And
100%.
Nope.
So, all right. Well, our number three song, this might be the song.
Yeah,
for a lot of people, this is the song. So
yeah,
let's hit this one.
Everybody knows. See, I can hear this playing on my parents' record player.
You can hear this playing everywhere.
Yeah.
This is for every Mariah Carey argument. A lot of people would say this might be the song.
Yeah. And I remember your
tiny tots with their
your wife saying that, like, this is she likes this.
This is her favorite Christmas song.
and I found a stat in here that I thought was really interesting because it talked about Santa's on his way. How it
he's loaded yeah. lots of toys in-
but yeah I'll let you do your thing.
Well, this
but yeah,
is,
there was a stat in there that talked about how it was popular with a certain age group.
Yes,
and I was like,
I have that stat.
And I was like, and your wife is in that age.
You're
that,
trying to steal yeah. my stats.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, this is the Christmas song. It's got the right in the title
yeah.
by Nat King Cole. As you stated, my wife's favorite Christmas song. This was originally recorded in 1946. The most popular and considered definitive version
yeah.
that we just heard was re-recorded by Cole in 1961. In 2004, this was the most loved seasonal song by women aged 30 to 49. I don't
there
know how
go.
About they'll all feel about that, but
there
that's where it landed. The original 1946 version was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1974 and was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation into the National Recording Registry for being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. So, big deal. I don't have they done that with Mariah yet? I'm sure
oh,
they, I'm sure
know.
They will at some point, but it, I don't know if
I
they
think
have
it was.
Yet.
I think it was.
So,
yeah, selected by the Library of Congress for preservation of the National Recording.
There you go. Yep. So, this did well on the chart everywhere except, of course, France, where it only hit 139. For our French listeners, I know you don't hate Christmas. I was there during Christmas. So what is happening here? I don't know why you hate Christmas songs. This song has been covered a lot. Bing Crosby, Perry Como, The Carpenters, Celine Dion, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra,
Celine Dion,
The Jackson 5,
Ooh.
NSYNC, Tony Braxton, and many more. In 2003, our boy Bublé also recorded a cover for his Christmas album. It hit number 6 on the adult contemporary charts. And you know what? Here is another Bublé sample to see if
Bublé.
It stands up to old Nat King Cole.
Oh, man.
Oh, you can always use a little more Bublé. Smooth. He's a smoothie.
I got to give him that. He is smooth.
He's a smoothie. Dressed up like. So this is a good reimagining.
Maybe I'm just jealous.
Probably.
He can.
Looks good in a suit, too.
He does.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
It swings.
Ooh.
Turkey and yep. some mistletoe.
Get the jazz group in the back going. A little jazz flute.
Will help
no.
to make.
No.
Yeah. Good on you, Michael Bublé.
I like it.
Yeah,
I'm so, again, this is a little more of a jazzy crooning vibe, but yeah. It's still pretty good. I'll still say Cole's is still the cat's meow.
The cat's meow.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you.
I've been hanging out in the jazz clubs.
Hey, Busta.
Hey, pal. Play that swinging thing for me. That swinging groove you wrote. All right. Well, that takes us to our number two song, what
number
we consider our
two.
Number two.
All right. Here we go. Ooh.
Another iconic
yep.
tune.
Ba-dum-bum.
Everybody loves the jingle bells.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it.
The jingle hop.
Giddy up, jingle horse.
Pick up your feet.
Pick up your feet.
Yeah.
Apparently he's slacking.
Jingle Bell Square.
Nice.
This is Jingle Bell Rock.
Yes.
By Bobby Helms.
I like it.
Released in 1957. It's considered his signature song. And there again, there's some controversy about who composed this song. Helms and his session guitarist Hank Garland, who's known for playing with Elvis, say they wrote it, and then these other guys said they wrote it. Anyway, the song has been performed by many, but Helms' first version from 1957 is best known. The song title and some of its lyrics are an extension of the old Christmas standard Jingle Bells. It makes a brief reference to other popular songs in the 50s, like Rock Around the Clock, and mentions going to a jingle hop, and it features Hank Garland and then the Anita Kerr singer. Brenda Lee recorded the song in 64
mm-hmm.
For her album, and that album reached number 7 on the charts. As of December 2019, it has sold 891,000 copies.
Nice.
And was recently, the track was performed by artists like Brenda Lee, Lindsay Lohan.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Do you have like a sample of that?
I don't.
Oh, what are we doing?
Ariana Grande and Hall & Oates.
I would have liked to sample that too.
According to the Nielsen SoundScan.
Missed some opportunities here.
I know. The digital track of this song was ninth on the list of all-time best-selling Christmas holiday digital singles.
It's good.
In SoundScan history.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So it's Jingle Bell Rock.
Nice. Yeah. I like that song.
Bobby Hill.
Lots of fun. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you,
All Bobby. Right. Well, before we reveal our last song, Rob and I, when we were making this list, he had and I had several other songs from our childhood that we remembered fondly. These songs are not typically the songs people think of. People might think they're silly or, in fact, dumb, some of them.
Right.
But they hold great memories for us. I know my dad liked some of these silly, like he had a tape of the silly Christmas songs. Like I think they remember the commercial they ran and it would have that tape where it was like Christmas songs, but remade with funny lyrics. And
yes.
Things like that. Yes. Yeah. I think like he bought that
stuff.
Off the TV. So I don't know if that was a Time Life thing or not, but I'm pretty sure he got that thing. But he loved some of these songs, particularly, and we'll just say it because it's going to get played. Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer. My dad had to listen to that song every year. He loved that damn song. So, but I'm turning this one over to you, Rob. You've got a little sampling of a few things for us. So let's see some other Christmas classics from when we were kids.
Let's try this one.
Oh, a bear
in
a tree. That's right. It's not until the second verse you figure out the tree part. Love gave to me beer. It's...
And a bear.
Well, it's like they're trying to figure the song out.
And
a beer.
Face of smokes.
French toast.
On the third day.
And then
not yet.
My true love gave to me.
And at the end, he talks about the beer is empty.
Yeah. And a beer.
Okay. Oops.
Where? Go.
In a tree. Three French toast.
Three French toast.
We can't listen to all 12.
No. So that's Golden Toots, which is a stocking cap in Canada.
Toots.
Yeah. My wife calls them toques. So, yeah.
Strange Brew.
Yeah. So that was Strange Brew. How about...
Is that Rick Moranis and Dave Wilson?
I don't know who the other guy is.
I think Dave Wilson.
This one goes out to my sister. She'll know this one.
Oh, okay.
This is...
You went for the Muppets.
This is John Denver.
It's something.
This.
God.
Listen, Piggy. Listen to her get into it. Right here.
She's got.
Yeah.
She's got the range.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was a. Yeah, that was John Denver. This was the album that my parents would play. You talked about at the beginning.
Wow.
We couldn't come out until this was the album that was playing.
Gotcha.
Here's your boy.
My boy?
You like this guy. The Boss.
No. This sucks.
The Boss.
This sucks. He like actively tries to sing bad in this.
Ooh.
Like just sing normal. Like he's straining his voice to sound worse.
Ooh.
He's laughing. He's laughing at himself because he knows this is dumb. And I don't like this.
Why?
Because I told you. I just don't.
Wait, here it comes.
I know what comes. I've heard this 1,000 times.
The E Street Band is kicking it in. Here we go.
I'm aware.
Come on now.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No?
I remember it a lot as a kid. It has a lot of nostalgia, obviously. And it's always on. Like the way he's singing. I'm like, he's just actively straining his own voice.
It does sound like he's straining.
Yeah.
And then we talked about this one.
No, that's the one. My uncle and my dad loved this.
Yeah.
I think someone had gotten a hold of a music video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where they actually showed this.
Yeah. Thought it was a cartoon. And we begged her not to go.
This is a very vivid Christmas memory for me.
Yeah. Christmas morning. I can see your dad liking this.
Attack.
Your dad would love this.
Oh, he loved it.
At the scene of the attack.
Mark on her back.
She had hoof prints on her forehead.
and incriminating claws marks on the back.
Now that is a very deep embedded memory. That song
and earlier we mentioned the Lindsay Lohan version of Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh, did you find it?
The guys found it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank them. Thanks in the booth. Oh.
This is Lindsay Lohan. What do you think?
Well, here's what I'll tell you. So you've seen Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she recorded this because in Mean Girls, this is the song they sing on stage. So it gives me a Mean Girls vibe.
Okay, yeah.
It's not as horrible as I assumed it was going to be, but it just gives me a Mean Girls vibe.
Yeah, and actually it says here it was from a Netflix film.
Oh, okay.
Falling for Christmas.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go find that. That might become a new Christmas classic.
Oh my gosh. No. Don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a year here. It doesn't give me a year.
No, we'll figure it out.
I think it was Netflix when they tried to branch out into the Hallmark type movies.
So I'm going to say something controversial. I like some of the Hallmark Christmas movies. My wife makes fun of me, but I watch them.
Okay.
They feel good. It looks like Christmas. They're having fun.
You talk about formula.
You got a tree farmer meeting a big city business lady and them getting married, and it's great. I mean, it gives hope to everyone.
And the ex that
It's always some kind of story where they're going to sell the Christmas inn, and she's going to save it. Some guy's a professional pie maker, and they went to high school together.
If we don't raise enough money, we're going to lose the Christmas tree farm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, bother. All right. Well.
Pooh just kidding.
For no reason. That takes us to our last song.
Yeah,
you could call it our number one song.
Ooh.
It's the song we put at the top, at the end of the list, I guess you could say. So hit it.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Damn it, Kip. Ooh.
By the way, Kip just waved and left the studio, so I guess he's out of here.
Well,
I think he has a party to get to.
Or he's got his got an intervention to go through.
He heard us talking about Lindsay Lohan. He just put his hand over his eyes and then he just walked out. So,
and this is.
Well, I'll let you know.
Okay, all right. I have a question about
this. Is Last Christmas? Last Christmas by Wham.
Wham.
All right. Earlier, I said The Drifters was one of my favorites. This is probably my favorite Christmas song. Just reminds me of the 80s.
The favorite.
And everything. So, sounds great. Has a wonderful 80s nostalgia. It's Wham. Can't go wrong with that. This was released in December of 1984. Spent 5 consecutive weeks at number 2 in the UK. Now, I learned from the Wham documentary, which I know you watched as well on Netflix, that George Michael wanted this to be number 1. He had told Andrew Ridgeley, I want to record the number 1 Christmas song. But that year, another song came from our countdown, Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas, took him out, which Michael also sings on. And he was conflicted because they invited him to it after they had recorded this.
Yeah.
And then he went and he did it because it was for charity.
Okay.
And of course, then it became number 2 and he didn't get the number 1 he was looking for because that would have gave him 4 or 5 number 1s in 1 year.
Oh.
And they didn't end up getting that. So after many other years on the charts hitting again as high as number 2, it finally hit number 1 on New Year's Day in 2021.
Oh.
So George didn't unfortunately get to see that happen, but it did make it. This is the most successful Christmas single in Germany of all time. How about that? It went number 1 in Ireland, is the 8th best all-time selling single in Japan. And although it was not officially released in the US as a single until 2014, which sounds crazy.
I did read that.
It has been in the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 multiple times. Song hit number 1 or number 2 almost everywhere to include France. So finally, something the French like. Apparently Wham hits the right notes for them. It was also number 1 or number 2 in Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Latvia again. I think a first shout out for Luxembourg on the show, Singapore, many Luxembourg. Others. It's been covered by multiple artists to include Taylor Swift, the Backstreet Boys, Jimmy Eat World, and Ariana Grande. Now, I looked at that list. And the Jimmy Eat World cover intrigued me, so I have a sample of that because I wanted to share that with you. It didn't turn out to be quite as good as I had hoped in the end, definitely, but it's an experience of some sort. It's definitely a different version of the song, I'll give it that.
And
So here we go.
Oh, you got it.
Actually sound a little more bland than I thought it was going to. It wasn't as good as I
thought. Yeah, no, I think they...
Yeah. I like Jimmy Eat World, but I was disappointed when I listened to that. But I had already locked it in, so I wanted to play the sample for you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Last Christmas, Wham.
I thought it was really cool. I read that it said Wham donated all of their royalties to relief efforts for the Ethiopian famine from this song. I thought that was very nice of them. That was
very nice, Rob.
Yeah, that was really cool. Not a lot of artists would have done that.
You got any other Wham notes?
Sometimes
you like to go into other areas.
Everything else you've got. Michael played Ridgely, the introduction and chorus melody, and Ridgely later called that a moment of wonder.
Ooh. You ever seen the video?
I haven't.
It was literally
girlfriends and stuff. That's
and their
right.
girlfriends are there. Yes, it was their actual girlfriends at the time.
That's right. That's right.
But all right, Rob. I think that's a pretty comprehensive list of great Christmas/holiday songs to get everyone through the season. And as usual, listeners, if you think we forgot an important song, I'm sure we did, reach out and let us know. And if we find it to be worthy, maybe we'll have Kip and the boys add it to the playlist after the show.
Yeah, right? I love it.
What'd you think of the playlist? I mean, we put it together a while ago.
You said it earlier. I think signed it off. I think the idea of playing this in the background while you're getting the tree up or doing your Christmas trappings up around the house.
Should we include some trimmings. Of the Blue Blaze stuff too?
I think we include it. We could do the Lindsay Lohan version. We could do your Jimmy Eat World version.
But then that takes the possible great 20 songs we gave and starts to water it down a little bit.
That's true.
We'll discuss that off camera.
All right. We might.
Quick
Google search. People can get it. They're smart.
They can find it.
We have smart listeners.
Well, if you enjoy this podcast, please take a second to give it 5 stars. Drop us a review. We love to read all the feedback we get from our fans. Also, check out our website at totally80s90srecall.podbean.com, where you can find links to all of our social media sites, as well as subscribing to our Facebook group for weekly updates and future episode topics. If you want to get in touch with us, email the show at 80s90srecall@gmail.com, which allows you to recommend future show ideas, comment on previous topics, and ask us questions. And we might answer them. We'll see. Finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you'd like to see Rob and I while you're listening, which we highly recommend. Links to all of our social media, merchandise store, and email are included in the show notes, so be sure to check them out after this episode.
That was fun. I liked that list. That was good.
Yeah, it was a good list.
I'm excited for the holiday season now.
I am.
I'm trying to get into it.
We're ready to go now.
And now that
gets you spiced up?
Got me motivated, yeah.
Christmas.
Spiced up.
Last week,
I don't
Christmas
like that.
Story didn't spice you up?
I don't like spiced up. I don't know what that means. But
It got you spiced up.
I'm feeling festive.
You're feeling spicy?
Yeah. No, I'm not feeling
Christmas
spicy.
Christmas spicy.
No, I don't. I really don't feel spicy today. But I feel excited about Christmas.
Well, despite you not feeling spicy today, I think we've created some oral magic here this morning.
I don't.
This afternoon. What time of the day is it? I'm not sure.
I like the phrase oral magic. And I would like you to strike that.
Magic.
Strike
it from the record.
Lexicon. I don't say that.
I think I'll keep it. I think the movie hound would be on board with with that.
Yeah, he'll do anything you say.
I gotcha. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, the cookies are eaten. Carrots, too. And old Saint Nick is back at the North Pole, which is great for Mrs. Claus. But unfortunately, it means we're at the end of this Holly Jolly episode. We hope you've had as much fun as we've had looking at our favorite Christmas/holiday songs. If you like today's musical choices, which I'm confident you will, we have provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes. Finally, we'd like to again wish a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all of our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers. Hopefully, we brought you a little joy this time of the year and gave you an hour or so of some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. Like clockwork. We've done pretty good.
Yes.
What are we doing next time?
It's almost too exciting to describe.
Okay.
Yes. We are literally covering the best Christmas movie of all time. And I will hear no argument on this. We are heading to Nakatomi Tower with John McClane. And we're going to die hard, Rob.
Okay.
Yep. The hound will be here. We're going to blow the studio up. Everything's happening.
I'm just going to go out on a limb right now and just tell you that I I disagree with
no,
your...
No, we're not having that argument right now. Yeah. You be quiet. That's not happening.
Well, I do want to plug something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Plug it.
So, as you're listening to this, you can hop on to our Facebook page.
Yes.
There is a survey.
Oh, okay.
Right now, we only have about 15 people that have participated.
That's good.
And I will tell you, mm-hmm. the data is in your favor.
And what's the data tell you of 15? So, that
out of 15 votes...
15 have said it's a Christmas movie.
14 have said it's a Christmas movie.
You were probably the other vote.
One vote. No, it was my aunt that voted. We need some more data.
That's
so I need
shocking.
People. I need people to hop on, and we
they
need
can do whatever they want.
Feel free to participate in this, and we will reveal the final data results on the actual episode,
so. Which we already know the answer to. But we'll get some more for you to make you feel better. So yes, greatest Christmas movie of all time on the next episode, Die Hard. We're doing it, Rob. Let's make it happen. It's going to be fun, and we're going to love it.
Well, I don't know.
Yippee-ki-yay, Rob.
I don't know if we're
going to
love it.
We are going to love it. So. Okay. You got anything else?
I don't have anything.
All right. Fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye.
I like the saxophone in this.
Sounds like something the boss would have done. The E Street.
A little bit.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't mind the E Street. I just don't like... It's too much.